Yes, it was a great parade. And it was a fulfillment of Scripture, that Palm Sunday march. I didn't get my palm. Got to have the palm. For if you take the parade and where it came from, Jesus was fulfilling the Scripture from the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I don't know how he rode two things at once, but one of the New Testament passages keeps that, and he rides two, and the other one takes one away. But anyway, it was a great parade on a donkey, and many apostles planned it, and many disciples helped plan the parade. They went into the city in advance to make it a great moment, and they prepared people to do what? But to lay their cloaks down, and they put cloaks on the donkey, and then raise up from the trees. And what were the trees in those days in that part of the world? They were palm trees. There could have been some olive branches as well, but we've traditionally declared them to be palm branches. And it was a parade led by the disciples. The good note from Zechariah is most interesting. The march was to tell the daughter of Zion. It definitely included the women in the march. Zechariah declared it was for the daughter of Zion. So the women had to be there as well. They too were there laying the branches on the ground and shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Unlike parades today, where we have the marching bands, and they're so wonderful, and we have those giant floats flying up in the sky with ropes holding them up, and then, of course, there wasn't just one donkey in our parades today. There's lots of horses riding in parades, and lots of different kind of groups riding on those horses. And of course, there's floats of every kind. This parade wasn't quite like that. As far as we know, it just had Jesus and the donkey. That's all it had. But still, it was a great celebration. And it was a preparation. And we do know that Peter was present, and today, of course, Peter Cottontail's present. But Peter and the apostles were present. It was the greatest of parades. People shouting Hosanna with the hope and the meaning of the ancient Hebrew tradition. For what did Hosanna mean? It meant Savior, save us. It meant rescue us. But then it has become a praise, a glory, in addition to rescuing from its literal meaning. It's a great parade, and in the contemporary world of my time, growing up, there's an Avery and Marsh song or hymn, and we couldn't get it all ready for today, but we got a little bit of it, and it goes something like, I want to join the great parade. I want to join the happy caravan of God's people, God's own people, marching round the world. There are people of all times and places, people of all nations and races, singing, swinging procession as here am I, here am I. Then it goes, young people, old people, quiet people, bold people, pretty little girls with pinks and swirls, a little boy and a little, let's see, a little, something old man and a little boy dancing and prancing together for joy. Hey, my son's here today. I wonder if he knows the rest of it. Usually he'll sing those songs that I used to sing. But the great parade, it continues in our lives. It helps us prepare for Easter. Some of us through marching, some of us through actually coming to church on Holy Week and going to reading the Bible and fasting and maybe being here for Monday, Thursday or Good Friday. But some of us are still back there at Peter, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping around the bunny trail. So many of us are not prepared to enter the period between Palm Sunday and Easter. And as we noted from what the children did in the moment, they let us know what we focus on. And those are all fun and good things. But we don't want to do them at the expense of losing the deep message in the heart of Easter. And to do that, to know what the meaning of the risen Lord is, we need to, as it says in Matthew, be aware that the whole city was in turmoil. This is after the parade. The whole city was in turmoil. And who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee. To you and I, that's good news. But to some, that was turmoil. Go back to Isaiah. The ox knows its owner and the donkey is its master's crib, but Israel does not know my people and they do not understand. We'll hear more of Isaiah later on as we read the scriptures today. But Holy Week is so similar to our life. It begins with a great parade and turns to doom, but then offers a graceful moment called Easter and the resurrection. In order to open your life to that moment, today we offer unto you the passion of Christ. We also offer unto you, again, as I mentioned, Holy Thursday, 7 o'clock, Good Friday, 12:15 here at the church. There's one short story about Maundy Thursday that I want to share with you in this sermon to say how important holy days are. When I was in my first church, fresh out of seminary, Northside Christian Church in Chicago, Illinois, above in the sanctuary, and especially in the front of the holy place in the church, were high, giant ceilings. And some of us could get up there into certain crawl spaces and go into those ceilings up above. So it was Maundy Thursday, and it was also a service of the black Maundy Thursday, dark, preparing us after we took Holy Communion for that cross. And so I climbed up there, and I had my tools, and I drilled holes in the floor or the ceiling, and we hung a pulley up there and ropes so we could lower a cross and raise a cross that evening. We did all this work, me and one other person, and the service we prepared with the music and everything, and this was a great church. But on Maundy Thursday, 20 people showed up after all that work. And I learned that in my life as a pastor, the service, Holy Week services that are so important to me are the least attended by the congregation. It's been that way my entire pastoral career. Because we're too busy back home getting the Easter eggs and taking care of the Easter bunny, which needs to happen. So today, as we conclude this sermon, we stop to hear the readings from the Gospel of Matthew regarding the passion of Jesus. Chapter 21 was what we read earlier, but the passion starts in Matthew 26. So we skip four chapters, and then we're going to read chapter 26 and parts of 27 today as we lead you forth into this time of Holy Week. Have a blessed Easter. Get deeper into your heart and your life of Jesus. Amen.